We like to do things by the numbers. We're all about commerce and community. Welcome to The Upswing, presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now for the host that's always on The Upswing, Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. How's your morning going? You know, I'm sure you're making your lists. You're checking it twice. You're like, all right, I got to do the grocery shopping for the family today. Back to school's coming. You got a long weekend ahead of us, which is great. So you're kind of like, all right, what's on the grill list? What am I going to do this weekend? Local grocery. I love grocery shopping. I really do. I'm not saying that facetiously at all. The promotions, the displays, the end caps. I don't always like the prices, but I always like trying something new and local. So today, we're going to talk with Outpost Natural Foods. We're going to get the insights on, you know, maybe some of the rising costs. Maybe look at some of the creative positioning for shelf space, the impact of competition, and much, much more. And we're going to get an update on a local product that I'm a huge fan of that's been refreshed, rebranded, re-energized, and it's back in the stores and looking for a national rollout. Truman McGee from Funky Fresh Spring Rolls is going to give us a big update. And he's got some stuff happening this weekend, too, where you can plug in a local product. He'll talk about pricing. He'll talk about promotion and a whole lot more. But first, as we do each and every morning, two up. This I saw from Fast Company. First, you got to read Fast Company. Well, maybe you don't have to because I'm going to read it for you. I'm going to get you the headlines. I'm going to do that work for you. But what is the invisible housing market? And what's the number of invisible homes in Wisconsin that's selling? So, first, housing inventory obviously been rising a little bit nationally, still really super tight here locally, but some homes never reach the open market. This, again, according to Fast Company, off-market real estate transactions are property sales that are never publicly advertised or listed on MLS. These transactions, they happen privately between buyers and sellers. They're often just direct negotiations between the buyer and the seller, and no help from an agent, maybe a little help from an agent who specializes in these type of deals, but there's a ton of these off-market deals that are happening nationally. You look around, almost 1.2 million U.S. homes this year have been done in off-market sales, and this was according to Batch Service. That includes 175,000 in Texas, 123,000 in Florida, and 62,000 homes in Georgia. Typically, an off-market seller is someone that really needs speed, special circumstances, or whatever, and isn't going to go through the formal process and just needs to get rid of the home. In Wisconsin, this number, according to Resi Club, in the Fast Company story, 28,000 already in 2024. Something to keep an eye on for sure. Sometimes there's that hidden market you got to be aware of. Second, prices are rolling back at Walmart. Big rollbacks always. Walmart lowered the cost of 7,200 products this summer through the company's regular rollbacks. But one section is being a little bit more stubborn when it comes to kind of dropping those costs. Can you take a guess? I'm going to tell you in a minute. Obviously, from a Walmart standpoint, rollback is this term that the giant uses to reduce prices, to do some promotion, to do it for 90 days, to get people back into the stores. About 35% of Walmart's rollbacks were in food. But the one places that they're staying high, it's the processed food consumables, it's the dry grocery, and it's that cereal aisle. I think our guest from Outpost is going to talk a little bit about that aisle, because I'm seeing, as I'm walking down the aisle, whoa, this box of cereal is $5.99, $6.99, $7.99. So even the mega food giants are keeping those prices higher, because that's just the state of the world we're living in. All right, when we come back, we're going to dive into local grocery and much, much more. Margaret Mittelstadt, Community Relations Director from Outpost Natural Foods, joins us. Get those grocery lists ready. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. I'm all lost in the supermarket.
market. I can no longer shop happily. I came in here for the special offer, a guaranteed personality.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Today, local grocery and much, much more. Thankful that Margaret Mittelstead, Community Relations Director for Outpost Natural Foods, joins us this morning. Margaret, thanks for taking the time. I appreciate it.
Good morning. Thanks for having me here.
Of course. Of course. So let's talk kind of grocery shopping habits a little bit, Margaret. How have you seen just general shopping habits evolve over the last couple months? You know, we're in this political year, everyone's talking about prices rising, maybe prices falling a little bit in some areas, but does that have an impact on the consumers walking into your stores?
Well, first of all, I want to congratulate you for liking to come and do your grocery shopping.
Thank you. Not always the case.
Not everybody likes to go grocery shopping, but here we have it that, you know, we're at a time where people are much more particular on what they're going to come in and buy. But they do like to come in and shop and find the things that they want for themselves. We're finding that folks are using the sales circular a lot more and really, you know, planning their grocery lists out in advance so that they can add in those cost-saving measures before they step into the store and get distracted by some other fun things.
Yeah, so you're seeing a more attention to the coupons and the deals and kind of coming into the store knowing what they're going to buy based upon price.
Yeah, I think that's a big point to make is that the shopper is very savvy, and we've had to be, quite frankly, for a while in just navigating the grocery landscape and finding those things that, you know, are good for your budget. And so with that in mind, it makes it a good habit to get into, I think, to create your list in advance, look for the sales, find manufacturer coupons, and bring those in. It does help.
Yeah, for sure. So Output has four locations in the metropolitan Milwaukee area. Obviously, food costs are fluctuating a little bit. How do you, as you have the buying power with the four stores, but how do you kind of find that balance of offering a variety of quality products, but then offering kind of the more affordable products to kind of meet all of our budgets?
So first of all, Outpost is a co-op, and we belong to a larger co-op of co-ops across the country, grocery retail, national co-op grocers. And through national co-op grocers, we're able to negotiate good prices on a lot of the brands that we bring in, natural, local, well, not local so much, but natural and organic brands that we will bring in. We also do work with a lot of local vendors and have a special relationship with them so that we can work on bringing in some of their products at a price we think that our customers will support. So there's a couple of ways that we do that. We can be quite competitive when it comes to sort of those center store items that you were mentioning earlier.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good to know. So you work directly with the brands to negotiate price so then you can have a variety of price points as you walk down the aisle.
Yes, definitely. So, you know, we have, as a co-op, you know, we have members and owners that we call them. And sometimes we have special sales just for them. We have sales for all shoppers who come into Outpost.
Right.
And then we have a line of products called Co-op Basics, which are sort of those everyday low price items, which includes organic and includes local items, too.
So if I'm a co-op owner, I get access to some lower prices. I get kind of access to the collective, to the community building aspect of the entire organization. So you, as you walk the aisles, you see, you know, some of the items have a price that's available for all.
Yeah.
Just for members and then the regular price?
Yep.
Yeah.
So,
okay. And then what's the co-op membership cost?
So the co-op membership is $200.
Okay.
It's not an annual fee that you pay. It's a one-time fee. And it's not actually a fee. It's you're putting equity into a business. You're buying common stock with that. And so in exchange, you know, we work with those people who choose to join and become an owner. We give them a few extra benefits.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. So Labor Day weekend's coming up, and we can talk about this a little bit more when we come back from the break as well. But what are some of the locally sourced products that Outpost offers that can kind of elevate my traditional Labor Day grilling out?
Well, okay, grilling out in Milwaukee, come on. You have to go down that bratwurst path.
Yes.
But I will say that, you know, we're very fortunate that Outpost, when we make our own bratwurst by hand, we've got, you know, traditional, and then we have some fun value-added flavors. So local brats, Wisconsin Meadows has heritage Duroc pork bratwurst that we're just bringing in now, and they're absolutely delicious.
Mm.
Put it on a pretzel bun. Pretzel is a pretzel bun that's made in Franklin, Wisconsin. You know, add your kraut or your, you can add kimchi if you want to.
Okay.
Put your condiments and your local pickles on there and wash it down with a cool one. I mean, we've got so, we're really fortunate that we have so many wonderful craft breweries in our area.
A lot of different local options for sure. All right. When we come back, how does Outpost decide between which products get priority on the shelf? I'm fascinated by, I think the term is right, the end cap model, right? You know, why do the, when I'm coming down the aisle, why is that one product there and how did they get there? This is The Upswing and you're listening to WTMJ.
Time for a quick look at your coffee and how much it costs. It's The Upswing's Coffee Index.
Welcome back to The Upswing. Where'd you get your morning coffee? Margaret Middlestead from Outpost Natural Foods joins us. First, I'll have you go first, Margaret. Where'd you stop for coffee? Anywhere this morning? I'm guessing you have pretty good coffee at home.
Oh, I have really good coffee at home. So that's usually my first stop is right at the coffee maker. But I do like to come in. I'd like to get a latte. I mean, I'm not going to give up my coffee. I'm sorry. So I kind of look the other way when it comes to paying for it. And it's a treat. I look at it as a treat and something that I really love to have.
Okay. I had a meeting on the east side before I came downtown, so I stopped at the Stone Creek on Downer, did the walk-up window. You know, the students are back. There are a lot of people sitting outside, kind of fun community environment. A 12-ounce, I did a half regular, half decaf, little splash of cream, $2.98.
Yeah.
So 12-ounce coffee, almost $3. That's about kind of standard with your
pretty coffee shop. Yeah,
model.
If it's a drip coffee. Yeah.
But you're saying in the stores that, you know, the bean prices are actually going up because the supply is getting a little tighter, right?
Getting a little tighter. So you're going to see that. And that may be passed along, too, even at your local coffee shop, too. What's happening is we're having extreme weather events in the areas and the regions around the globe that coffee is grown in. It's grown at elevation, slight elevation. It needs a lot of water and it needs humidity. And we're facing, growers are being faced with either extreme drought or extreme wet conditions. And, the yields have been going down.
Hmm.
And but the demand continues to be very robust, of course. And so you're going to see some shifting in the price of coffee, and people are probably noticing it already.
Yeah, I mean, the coffee aisle, the drink aisle, those aisles always fascinate me because there's so much selection.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, from a grocer standpoint, how do you decide which brands to carry? I mean, does the WTMJ talking text line, we just got something from the 414. Ask Outpost why they don't carry shade grown coffee anymore. Thank you.
Oh,
maybe you do.
Yeah.
But there's so many options from a coffee standpoint. How do you decide which ones to carry and which ones not to?
Well, yeah. Well, just real quick, I think Just Coffee is shade grown, but we do have a few others that are shade grown. You got to read the labels.
Okay.
But how we find products and how we determine what goes on the shelf, we have a really talented team of purchasing folks and merchandising folks who we work together, we work in tandem. We look forward the sales that are coming up and we plan out how those end caps are going to look. So if there's a really great pickle that's on sale, of course we're going to put some buns and some condiments on that shelf set as well too.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't do slotting fees, which is what a lot of the big box retailers do.
Right.
So it's kind of an organic process.
Hmm.
We slot them, if things are not moving as robustly as we want them to, we might move that around a little bit and just see how that works.
Yeah.
But you know, we work with a lot of local vendors, and we want to try to see if we can draw some interest in for them as well.
Yeah. So it's, like I said, you know, I'm fascinated by the end caps and by the displays. You curate those displays based upon kind of what's happening now.
Yeah.
More so than charging the product to have shelf space.
Right, exactly. So, and the end cap is a great example of that. If you pick up our sales circular for this week, it's a Wednesday through Tuesday sales cycle. You will see a lot of those items that are in the sales circular, you're going to find on the end cap. And that, so we call that out, and it's easy to find, it's easy to get to. But even when you're going into the aisles, and you'll see that we have items in the channels that are marked, this is a local item, so you can find it easily.
Okay, yeah.
But yeah, we kind of look at it as just sort of this organic process. We like it that way.
That's nice. You know, eye level by level, isn't that it?
Yeah.
Yes. I'm like, hey, I see it, I'm going to buy it. And, you know, you put some things at the kids' level, so they're like, ooh, cookies or candy.
Right.
They're going to say, all right, give me that, give me that. What other strategies do you use in the stores just to make it a more memorable shopping experience?
Well, you know, we've been around for 55 years soon, and the most memorable shopping experience is always going to be led with great customer service. We have a lot of our employees have been with Outpost for 10, 15, 20. We're celebrating 40th year anniversaries for a couple of our staff. So, you know, you learn your products and you learn how to connect with your customers. So great customer service. We have beautiful stores that are designed with bright colors. They're all eco-friendly finishes and surfaces. The air quality is really good. Lighting is beautiful. I mean, you want to light that stuff up, make it look really gorgeous for the customer.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of our stores have green spaces or pesticide-free gardens surrounding them, too. So, you know, it's the experience outside as well as the experience when you walk through the door.
I always like it. At the Mequon location, I know I can charge my car up and go in and shop. That's, you know, selfishly, that's a good thing for me. I like that and appreciate it.
Yeah.
So when we come back, we will talk a bit more about technology and trends and much more with Outpost Natural Foods. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. We are walking the aisles of your local grocery store. No matter how and where you shop, I always say we're really, really fortunate in greater Milwaukee here to have so many wonderful local and national options, especially based upon our market size. But Margaret Mittelstadt from Outpost Natural Foods joins us this morning. How do you keep an eye on the competition, like just, you know, knowing what competitors are doing? How does that influence your day-to-day business decisions?
Well, it's a multi-pronged effect, approach, if you will. You know, we all take note of what everyone else is selling, the prices that they're selling at, and on certain items. So that's across the industry.
Yeah,
we take note of that. We also note that, you know, what's trending and who's going to be carrying it forward. You know, it's important to know what your competition is doing. But, you know, in certain areas, it's difficult to compete with the big box retail stores.
Mm-hmm.
The other way that we can sort of set ourselves apart in the marketplace is to lead with our values as a co-op and as a business that strives for healthy, diverse, and sustainable community at its core.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like flipping that coin a little bit, where you're leading with your values, you're keeping your eye and your finger on the pulse of what's going on in the marketplace at the same time.
Yeah. So leading into Labor Day weekend, how do you keep an eye on the meat prices? We were talking a little bit at the break, and you had some really good insight as to, you know, pork prices and beef prices and what you're seeing locally.
So we carry mostly local and regional poultry, beef, and pork.
Okay.
What we're finding even throughout the pandemic is pork kind of held its own. It was pretty pretty good pricing on most of the pork products, and we get ours from Beeler's, which is a local Iowa pork producer. It's Heritage Direct Pork. Beef has been a little more tricky. The prices have been up a little bit on beef. And some poultry as well, too. It's starting to level off a little bit, I think, as prices in general are kind of, inflation's kind of leveling off a little bit. And you're going to see that not these price hikes that you maybe have been accustomed to in the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
So things are leveling off a little bit. If you see a sale, take advantage of it and you know, freeze it if you can. It's a great way to buy up a lot of inventory and keep it on hand.
Are shoppers still looking for that prepared meal experience? I mean, whether it's a sandwich or it's a full meal for a family of four. And then what do you do when those items don't sell? How does that food waste component come into the economics of Outpost?
It's a really, really good question. Absolutely, the trend is still strong for those ready-made meals, or meals that are almost ready-made, and if you add a few other things to it, you feel like you made something from scratch.
Convenience.
Absolutely. Yes. So convenience is certainly at the top of the list of things. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to food waste, as a retailer, you have to be really responsible in how you're going to forward order your products, the fresh products that you're making. So that you're going to avoid that spoilage as best you can. It's going to happen.
Right.
But, you know, it cuts into your profitability. So we're really pretty, you know, we have our eyes on that prize. But in terms of what happens at the end of the day, if something goes out of date, we offer it to our staff first for free. They can take it home.
Hmm.
And it kind of has a nice little perk. We work with other nonprofits in the area where they can come and pick up, glean some of those items and take them back to, if it's a soup kitchen or a homeless shelter, you know, where they can offer it to the patrons that come to visit them.
The same on the produce side, I would assume, too, because you have an expansive produce section at all the stores, and, you know, that produce only lasts so long.
Right. I mean, and we'll mark some things down know, as they're getting, you know, a little closer to, you know, where you want to maybe make sauce out of it instead of having a nice tomato on your salad. But, you know, the things that we cull, even like the leaves, when you're bringing things in and you want to, you know, shape the product before you put it on the market, that extra stuff, either we will compost it or, like, you know, the Humane Society comes in and picks up some of those fresh produce items to give to their wild animals.
Okay.
So it's kind of an interesting little workout that we did. But we do compost all of our food scraps and things like that. And if there are items that would go out of date that are no longer edible, we'll compost them as well, too.
Okay, very good. I love it. The grocery store circle of life, if you will, right?
Absolutely.
You stick around for another segment?
Sure.
I have on the phone Truman McGee from Funky Fresh Spring Rolls. So I want to first ask you, Margaret, how you work with local brands, what that process looks like at the beginning. Do they approach you? Or are there brokers involved? Just walk us through the whole, like, wow, I have a granola brand. I want to get it into the stores. What does that look like? And how can you help me? This is the Upswing Grocery Shopping Edition. Welcome back to the Upswing Local Grocery and More this morning. Well, one local Milwaukee brand is ready to grow. Funky Fresh Spring Rolls, Milwaukee-based frozen spring roll brand known for its little healthy conscious, non-traditional flavors. It's returning to local grocery store shelves this week with big plans to expand. Creator Truman McGee joins us along with Margaret Middlestead from Outpost. We're going to have you two talk. Truman, can you go back and remember when you're trying to get Funky Fresh into the stores?
How did you create that
experience? I'm great. How are you this morning?
I'm good. I'm excited. So for me, it started just with, you know, I know this word is super cliche nowadays, but it's kind of like manifested it. I took a picture in front of Outpost on State Street in 2017 and say one day Funky Fresh is gonna be in this store. And I feel like when you put things to the universe, good things to the universe, like all the universe conspires to help you. So like from there, COVID happened and we reshifted our focus from selling hot rolls into selling them frozen. The first place I thought about was Outpost. So I reached out to Venus Williams, who is well connected in the community.
Okay.
She's connected with Outpost, and I think she got me in touch with Pam over at Outpost at the time, and the conversation has just started from there.
Yeah,
and that's kind of how it started.
So that's a pretty organic approach. And Margaret, is that the way you work with local brands? Is typically that the process that, well, a founder will call or reach out and say, "Wow, I have a product I want to get on shelves. Help me."
Yeah, absolutely. We've got so many wonderful local brands, and I would say the majority of them come to us first, and we'll work with them if it's something we feel will be a really great match for our customers and for our inventory. If it's somebody that's really brand new to the process, we will work with them from the labeling options on forward. even if it comes to tweaking some of the ingredients to align with our purchasing policies.
Okay.
So it was Funky Fresh Spring Roll is a great example of how we work with a local vendor, we bring them along, we bring their product into the store, and just get it into people's mouths. I mean, you know, once you eat it and it's like, this is delicious, then you start to create that need and the desire, and people come back for it again and again. And there is how you start to grow that local brand.
Yeah. So, Truman, as you were kind of going through your test phase, if you will, for the past couple months and just looking to relaunch the brand, what were some of the kind of the feedback that influenced some of the improvements in packaging that you released recently?
Just wanted to real quick piggyback it with Margaret was saying. That's definitely what happened. Outpost helped me with my packaging. We had one ingredient. Like when we first started, we had all plant-based rolls. We had a cheeseburger roll in there and it had ketchup. And I didn't realize high fructose corn syrup was in ketchup at the time. And I was on our label, and Outpost uses all non-chemical, non-GMO, that was essentially on their no-no list. So they helped me through that and helped me with the packaging. So I always appreciate their help from the beginning. But some of the things that we changed in our new product is last year we did like 150 store tests, and we did over 100 demos, you know, at grocery stores all across Wisconsin, Illinois. And one thing I realized, Jeff, I don't know if you love blue cheese, but a lot of people don't like blue cheese.
I'm not a big blue cheese fan. I'm not going to lie. A lot of people are, though.
So blue cheese is one of those more polarizing ingredients that either people will either love it or hate it. It's like really no in-between. So our buffalo chicken and kale spring roll, which is spicy chicken, jalapeno, Greek yogurt, blue cheese, a lot of people, about half the customers, didn't like that. It ended up being one of our least-selling rolls. So we swapped out the blue cheese for cream cheese. And if you like blue cheese, you still will eat it with cream cheese. And I feel like we got even a better product with the cream cheese in it. So that's one of the things that we were able to change in our new packaging.
Yeah, it's great to hear a local brand that's scaling nationally, that's still listening to customer feedback and able to adjust on the fly. And, you know, with a partnership of a local retailer to help get those products into the store. When we come back, I know, Truman, you have a partnership with Palermo Via. And how have they helped you transform your business strategy and operations, and particularly what will scaling into more stores nationwide look for you? This is The Upswing, the grocery store edition with Outpost Natural Foods and Funky Fresh Spring Rolls.
Yeah,
welcome back to The Upswing. We are presented by Horicon Bank. Now at Outpost Natural Foods, 4 baked spring roll flavors from Funky Fresh Spring Rolls. New packaging, a couple new ingredient mixes. Truman, so a box of 3 in the frozen food section, what is that going to retail for at Outpost?
Yeah, but Outpost is $7.99. Last year we had a package of 4 for $11.99. That's another one of those things that we learned is, customers want to purchase something less than $10 as an appetizer out. So a box of 3 of the best non-traditional premium spring rolls you ever had in your life for $7.99.
Yeah, that $10 price point, it's kind of that psychological, I don't know, a little over $10, that seems like a little too much, but you go less than that, maybe cut back on one spring roll, but then I probably buy 2 and I'm good with it, right?
Yeah. People will buy 2 boxes for more than $10, but one, they couldn't do it. And it makes sense. You know, I'm a customer as well, so I get it.
Yeah. So how has working with Palermo's transformed you business-wise, and what are you looking for in the future in terms of scaling with distribution?
Yeah. One thing I learned about Palermo's is, man, they're so organized. They have a meeting for a meeting. We've had a meeting before the actual meeting about a meeting, you know, so it's like they're so organized on a high level, and they take care of the small details as well. And they take a lot of risks still. You know, a lot of people, as an entrepreneur, you know, you got to take risks, and they're continuously taking risks, and it just motivates me to to want to get to that level. Also, they was, you know, they were a small business like us at one time.
Yeah.
And I always say, if they could grow a national brand like Funky Fresh can do the same thing, and I'm thankful for our relationship.
So you've been able to manage that marriage of an entrepreneur with a larger corporate brand to kind of find the synergies to help you both grow.
Absolutely. You know what? What I really love is they let me be me. They let me be my entrepreneurial self, my curious self, and they don't put any limits on what I could do. Creativity-wise,
right.
And that's something I really appreciate.
Yeah. So what do you see moving forward into 2025? And I want to ask Margaret this as well in terms of possible expansion for Outpost, but how many stores you want to get Funky Fresh Spring Rolls into?
Yeah, so by the end of the year, we want to be, you know, roughly around 100 stores, like hit up all of our local Wisconsin-based stores. But by next year, we got big goals. We want to get a big national anchor tenant that maybe have 500 stores plus, or even beyond. I'm gonna say it here live on the radio. I want to be in over 1,000 stores by the end of 2025, and I think with the power of Funky Fresh Nation, I believe we could achieve that goal.
All right, very good. And Margaret, what about expansion plans on Outpost Horizon?
Okay, well, that's an interesting question.
Yeah.
Without giving anything away, but actually it wouldn't be. But so because we're a co-op, we are owned by the people in the community. Mm. So we have more than 22,500 people that live in the Milwaukee area. So the first thing is we're always going to look for a spot that where we have a concentration of some of our owners, because they're the ones that invested in the co-op and they want to see it in their neighborhood.
Yeah.
So we do that first and see, where there's some growth potential.
Very good. Let the customers and the co-op decide, right? Let the market decide. But this weekend, we can get out to Outpost and sample some Funky Fresh Spring Rolls, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Get out there and try them. It's a fabulous product.
Very good. All right. I appreciate Margaret Middlestead from Outpost Natural Foods, Truman McGee from Funky Fresh Spring Rolls. This is The Upswing.
These are your business headlines from the Milwaukee Business Journal.
Milwaukee County is looking to move forward with a proposal from the Friends of Villa Terrace to keep the historic lakefront property a museum. Other proposals considered for the facility were a restaurant and an events venue. Frederick Hospital is piloting an FDA-cleared blood test for the early detection of sepsis in its Wauwatosa emergency room. The medical device is the first of its kind to be used at a hospital in Wisconsin and the Midwest. A manufacturer of luxury kitchen and bath faucets plans to relocate its headquarters from Milwaukee to Oak Creek. Graff Faucets plans to move into a 100,000-square-foot facility on Rawson Avenue. I'm Drew Dawson with MilwaukeeBusinessJournal.com on News Radio WTMJ.